My name is Gina LeFeur. I recently retired from mainstream media in France, and I've worked in mainstream media since the late 80s, and it's only recently that I've had some real difficulties accepting the way the mainstream media has gone. I mean, it just when I worked a long time ago for the Washington Post when we exposed the Iran-Contra scandal, for example, and it was wonderful. Whereas now the Washington Post has just become a mouthpiece for the CIA, basically, and you know, it's you couldn't even honor a birdcage with that rag. Now I'm just so disgusted with the Washington Post.
Now you're in France. Can you just give us an idea of what life is like there? Do you have vaccine passports, vaccine mandates, that sort of thing? You know, general life, going about your business. Is the virus still affecting people?
Definitely. I mean, only a couple of weeks ago, they made it worse by requiring a vaccine pass, which means that you can no longer go to a museum with proof of not being COVID positive. In other words, you have to prove that you've had your vaccine. And so this is continuing, and they can... then they can keep it going until the end of July, but apparently they're going to lift it before the election, and the presidential election is on April 10th, and the word is that they're going to eliminate it at the end of March.
There's a certain absurdity about this, Gina, because you know, we've now got the Omicron, which is, many people are saying, has been almost like a gift from God, because it's a very much milder version, and yet it is giving, as people catch it, it's basically like having the common cold or something, and it's giving people immunity. So it doesn't seem to make real sense. Maybe you can explain to us what is going on in France that means that these more strict measures are coming in just as it seems COVID is going away.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of the aspects of the new legislation is that you have to get a new jab within 4 months instead of 7 months. And so more and more people are falling into the category of losing their vaccine pass because they haven't had the latest jab. And the other day I heard that it was 5 million people who are losing their vaccine passes. And you know, more and more people are realizing that the vaccine isn't working, and they're wondering why they should get another jab in order to maintain their pass.
And, well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because it sounds to me like the vaccine isn't working, but the vaccine pass isn't working either. It's almost as if it's got a little sell-by date on it, and after a couple of months, it dissolves in your hands and disappears.
Yeah. I haven't heard a lot of vox pop about that. I know that the number is around 5 million at the moment.
What about resistance to this going on? Is it concentrated in Paris? What's happening over there? And is it, you know, is there much going on in the regional cities?
Well, you know that they've picked up on the Canadian example, and they're driving into Paris in their trucks. And it's quite exciting, but of course it's not very much on the news. And you have to go to alternative media to see that they've reached the Champs-Élysées, and these trucks are out there. Well, not trucks. They're. I mean, the trucks are the protesters. And then to counter the protesters, they have these police tanks. I mean, they're these blue. I've never seen them before, but there are these blue tanks that are in the Champs-Élysées and trying to stop this movement. But in Canada and elsewhere, where we have truck convoys, you know, they're called the Freedom Convoys, they're not covering them on the mainstream media.
As a journalist, what have you seen that's you know, surprised and shocked you working during this COVID episode?
There's so many things that are just so disappointing. I mean, my colleagues, most of them have drunk the Kool-Aid as far as I'm concerned. They're just they when I send them information about ivermectin or the FDA, or I mean, they just don't want to know. They just tune out. And I sent lots of stuff to my boss, and she just never answered. I mean, and now I'm in a special position where I'm no longer actively employed, and I can probably continue to influence things, but it will have to be sort of under the radar.
Have you found that there's been any sort of pressure on you as a journalist, you know, in the stories you're writing?
Well, I'm not actually. I just retired on Monday, okay. But in the latest period of my employment, I haven't been reporting. I've only been editing. So the pressure that I've had has been to not question the overriding narrative.
Yeah, it must be a bit frustrating if you're editing something you know, you'd rather actually add a few facts in, or, you know, change the emphasis a little bit to give more balance.
It's not only that. I mean, it's just outright lies. I mean, our bureau in Geneva, for example, is just regurgitates everything that the WHO says, and I've tried several times to explain to my colleagues there that, you know, that these are just outright lies. But that's so hard for them to compute. I mean, they're in the belly of the beast, as it were, and they just, I don't know, they must look at me as some sort of conspiracy theorist, but I mean...
Well, that's easy to dismiss people by calling them conspiracy theorists, but actually, yeah, journalists are supposed to ask questions, aren't they?
I know. But as I said just a minute ago, my boss, when I gave her all this stuff about ivermectin, she said, "Well, the WHO says it's not." Advisable, and so we'll just go with the WHO. So, I mean, how can I tell her that the WHO is compromised?
What about the evolution of things as they've gone in France? Because we were getting a lot of reports about the yellow vests and these big protests over there, and they were quite a well-organized movement. Generally, I suppose you'd say left-leaning socialists, but very anti Brussels, even, you know, sort of precipitating some sort of Frexit. That's one of the things that they wanted. But they were actually very, very organized and extremely focused around social justice issues. So they apparently disappeared when COVID hit. So has anything happened with the yellow vests, and is there any sort of integration with the present groups?
All I know is that the government efforts to smear the truckers and anybody so-called anti-vax has been amalgamated with the yellow vests. They're trying to smear everybody with the same brush. I don't think the yellow vests have gone away. And I need to remind you that we have an election coming up on April 10th. The tension is mounting, and this is one of the main reasons that they're talking about lifting the COVID restrictions before the election. And to me, it's just an incredible hypocrisy that the very government that has imposed all these stupid restrictions on us is now going to lift them just before the election, with the idea that that's going to make us more inclined to vote for them. It's just incredible, anyway.
Yes, it sounds sort of quite like the elites talking down to the voters, which is not the sort of thing you expect in France.
Well, Macron has been Napoleonic just from the beginning. I mean, he's always treated us with disdain. I mean, even with a majority in Parliament, he has gone ahead with these decrees that don't require a vote in Parliament or a debate. You know, he could have had a debate, but instead he's just gone ahead with decrees.
Okay, well, I mean, that sounds pretty authoritarian.
Yeah.
almost being authoritarian for the fun of it, you know, that... So how do you think that election's going to go? Can you just give us your prediction?
Well, unfortunately, the left is totally split. And it looks like it's going to be a repeat of the last one, which was Macron versus Le Pen. And for me, that's just very disappointing because Marine Le Pen is, of course, she's far right and she's horrible. But in addition, she doesn't have any credentials for leadership. And, you know, the last time in 2017, Macron and Le Pen were in the semifinals with Jean-Luc Mélenchon and François Fillon. Those two latter ones, well, Fillon is no longer anywhere in the picture, but Mélenchon is the far-left guy, and I support him. I'm just trying to say that the four of them had equal weight. They each of them had about one quarter of the voting public. So... I'm just hoping that Marine Le Pen disappears and that we'll have a final between Macron and Mélenchon. But I really can't predict anything right now.
Well, you just did a little bit, so thank you for that. Now, there is a sort of interesting way, if you think you can contrast Le Pen with Nigel Farage, because he's been painted as a far right all the time over here, even, you know, some people talking about him as a neo-Nazi. He was extremely strict in UK Independence Party when that was around in keeping the far right out of it, you know, very strict. And then we had Tommy Robinson infiltrate UKIP, and so he then completely dropped UKIP and started a new party, which was the Brexit Party, now called Reform, I think, some very unimaginative title like that. But I think that the nationalists in England, I think, did quite a good job in keeping the extremists out and making sure that people realised that this wasn't an extremist party. It was more of a, you know, genuine independence party. Why hasn't Marine Le Pen been able to do that?
I'm sorry, I really don't know. I'm sorry, I can't answer that.
That's an awkward question, I know. That was a bit of a googly, as they say in cricket.
Anyway,
Gina, can you just give us a pointer as to some, you think, as a journalist, some good news sources to get decent information on what's going on in France? Because quite clearly the mainstream isn't really working.
Yeah. There's a group called COVID Reinfo, which means re-educating people about COVID. That's COVIDREINFO.com. And then there's the guy who backed a petition against the vaccine pass. He's quite good, and his name is Rodolphe Becker.
You're gonna have to spell that, I'm afraid, for us Brits.
Let's see, Rodolphe. Can you cut this so that you're going to be...
We can edit it, yeah.
Okay, Rodolphe Baquet, B-A-C-Q-E-T. That's all in French.
Well, we can translate, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I think it's almost a silo mentality going on these days with
for sure. Yeah.
With different languages being kept, different mentalities in different countries, and news not really being allowed to cross borders if it's not the official news.
The truck convoys, the freedom convoys, are not just coming to Paris. They're also going to Brussels, and I think it's a movement that we need to watch, and we need to try to. We need to try to broadcast their efforts, because the mainstream media are doing everything they can to prevent people from knowing about it. In Canada, they've paralyzed Ottawa, and you wouldn't know it from reading the mainstream news.
Well, that's right. There's a bit of a battle going on the border, I think, isn't there, where they're trying to allow free passage between Montreal and Detroit at the moment. So that hasn't really been covered. It should be being covered live, I would have thought. Anyway, look, Gina, thank you very much for your time, and hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
Okay, thanks, Tony. Enjoyed it.